Good afternoon, everyone. Good to once more tell you thank you for being here. It's always a wonderful privilege to be able to take a few moments and actually do almost a change of pace, if you will. Normally, as you know, we've been going through Matthew, but Brother Lane, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, had the opportunity to talk about this passage from Ezekiel 15, the vine. And if you'd like to turn there, that's actually where we're going to start off with, is Ezekiel 15. More as a point of context than anything else. But Ezekiel 15, if you have your heading there, it's pretty cool because it might say, like, give you the heading, the useless vine. It's something to think about there. Ezekiel chapter 15, if you use the Red Pew Bible, it's page 967, beginning of verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of a branch, which is among the trees of the forest? Can wood be taken from it to make anything? Or can man take a peg from it on which to hang any vessel? If it has been put into the fire for fuel, and the fire has consumed both of its ends, and its middle part has been charred, is it then useful for anything? Behold, while it is intact, it is not made into anything. How much less, when the fire is consumed and it is charred, can it still be made into anything?" So the basic question or premise there is, how is the wood of a vine better than any branch or piece of wood? And the answer is really simple, right? It's not. It can't be. When you look at this piece of wood, when you think about a vine, and understand this is not a grapevine, this isn't a vine that is bearing fruit. When you look at this vine, the only thing that this vine does is it exists and it lives off of other things. It takes life away from else. It's not good for anything. You can't build with it. You can't do anything with it. The only thing that's ultimately it's good for is just to be burned. And once it's been burned, its usefulness is over. Now, if you want some more specific points on that, I would encourage you, go 2 weeks ago. Lane did a great lesson on it. Lane brought up a lot of wonderful points, and I'm not just singing Lane's praises here. It was a great lesson. It was good enough, in fact, that 2 days ago, or what is today? Almost a week ago, 6 days. I get my days confused. 6 days ago, Robert and I were walking around the southwest side of my house, and Lane's sermon popped right back into my head. Because what happened was, is we found a useless vine. It was wrapped around a tree. The tree was dead, and so was this vine. And as I started pulling and yanking on and getting it out, I realized, hey, this is really neat. Because this is exactly what we're talking about. And I looked at Robert and I started talking to him, and Robert and I got talking about Lane's sermon. And so we spent some time just talking about what we had heard on Sunday. Now, to remind you of a verse from Brother Tim's Bible class, and when we talked about Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 18 there, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." What we see in nature, when we consider what has been made, the Bible tells us we can see God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature. That is something that has been given to us. And you know what? When we think about passages like Ezekiel, where we have a physical representation, an understanding that God has given to us and has made application for us to consider, in that case to Judah, we can think about God's purpose and God's plan. And do you realize what we're doing? We're applying Scripture. Scripture isn't just something we encounter on Sundays and Wednesdays or when we do our morning Bible study. But as we go out throughout our day, as we talk to people, as we see things, as we encounter things, Scripture pops into our head. We have this wonderful passage that people quote right and left. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's great. But ask yourself, is Scripture actually teaching me? Am I actually being reproved? Does something pop into my head? I'm doing something wrong. And the Word of God comes to me and reminds me, I'm not supposed to be doing this. If I need to fix a path I'm walking on, am I corrected? Am I walking down the right path? Am I being trained in righteousness? Scripture has a purpose. It's not just here for us to read because it's a great book and it's a great time to spend, great way to spend time with people on Sundays. Scripture has a purpose for us. It has meaning. And it's there to guide us. See, Scripture has real life applications for us. When we think about the Word of God, when we think about what we've been given, we have to realize we're supposed to be using it. And you think about passages specifically in regards to the vine. Now, again, if you want Lane's sermon, I'd encourage you to go listen to it because we do have it online. But I want to talk about this tree that was in my backyard because, I don't know, a few years back, this tree got damaged. And so we trimmed it down and tried to get it so it would grow. It almost sounds like that parable that Jesus gave. It didn't grow very well. So it got damaged again, so we had to cut it down. At this point, it's below waist high. Now, I will tell you, I have a couple trees that I hate, despise, cannot get rid of, that I've cut all the way down to the ground, and guess what? 2 years later, they're taller than I am. I can't get rid of them. But this tree I kind of liked, and of course, it's dead. So this tree, I've cut it down. It's just a little bit below waist high. I come out to it, and I was walking by it, and we're trimming up around the house right now. And I looked at it, and I realized it's completely dead. And when I pushed on it, it fell out of the ground. It literally ripped right up and came down. And it wasn't until that happened that I realized what was wrapped around this tree. Because it blended right in. You couldn't tell it was there because it was the same color, same shape, matched the bark that was on this tree. There was a vine. A brown vine that had gotten this tree and had literally taken every little bit of nutrients, everything that was keeping this tree going, it yanked it out. The vine was still alive, but the tree was dead. It was like a parasite. It sucked everything that was good and great out of this tree. And literally, I could pick it up because it was light. A piece of wood this big that you could hold one hand because it doesn't weigh anything because it's been eaten from the inside out. Folks, there's application for us in that. See, when we think about our lives, we all have stuff that comes up. We all have trials. We all have burdens. We all have things that hit us. How do we handle it? What do we do with it? Do we go to the proper source like Scripture? Or do we try to reach out and get entangled and wrapped up in other things that lead us farther away? You think about what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You have encumbrances that we're supposed to lay aside. In other words, you have burdens, you have weights, you have things that are in your life that are weighing you down. We are called to lay them aside. Remember, the Hebrew writer is writing to Christians. He's telling Christians, lay aside these things and the sin or the stuff that entangles you, that ensnares you, that trips you up and makes you fall. The stuff that is wrapped around you, that has got a hold of you. Get rid of it. You think about what Paul said to Ephesus. We start talking to them about unity, and he started talking to them about how they're supposed to live their lives, how they're supposed to walk the walk they're supposed to walk. In Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, he says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Have you learned of Christ? Are you a Christian? That means you have laid aside that old self. You've laid aside, you've gotten rid of the old desires, the old man, those things in your life that are corrupting you, the things in life that are creating decay in you, the things in life that are wrapped around you and are sucking your life out from the inside out. Because we may not see it on the outside, but what's happening on the inside? All of us deal with these vines. And we have the opportunity to get rid of them. We have the opportunity to be created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In other words, we have the opportunity to truly be found in Christ Jesus. And that's where we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be partaking of. And we can learn this all from a vine. Remember, Scripture, the Word of God, it has a purpose for us. It guides us, it teaches us, and the little things we see, if we're willing to look and we're willing to make application, they can have an impact on us. In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Please bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity, that we have the place to come together, to worship you, to praise you, to bring songs forth that lift up your name and to recognize the way you have worked in our lives, to recognize a home that you have prepared for us, to recognize that you are active in our lives and that you are guiding us in all things. We ask, Father, that as we consider these things, as we consider the blessings that we have in this life, that we realize among all these things that we have a hope. That when we consider your Scripture, we realize we have hope. That we have that eager expectation, knowing that you are coming back, that you are there for us, and that we have a home prepared. We ask, Father, that we do not neglect that, but that we hold fast to it, and that each and every day we realize you are teaching us. Please allow us to see those teachings. Please allow us to use your word and allow us to find the ways to apply it correctly in our lives. It's through your Son's blessed name we pray. Amen. So for invitation, we have the question, is thy heart right with God? It's a simple question, and it applies to both to non-Christians and Christians. Do you have hope? You're supposed to. If you do not have that eager expectation because you have not put on Christ, because you're still weighted down, you're still encumbered, you're still tangled up in this world, you have the opportunity today that when Tim gets up to lead us in this song, come forward and you can be baptized into Jesus. You can put on Jesus. You partake of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and you can walk in the newness of life. If you're a Christian and you honestly feel like you have no hope, please, let us help you. If it's because you have sin in your life, let us know. We can pray for you. You can be restored. If you have something that's going on that's not sin, but you're depressed and discouraged, please, again, let us know. That's what we're here for. We're all here to be there for each other. God has given us for this purpose, to edify and to build one another up. If you're willing and able, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.